Now my real pleasure to introduce an old friend.
We actually
go to school together a long time ago.
It's
a coincidence we're here at this section. But Dr. Georgia Izinga, she's a USDA geneticist in Stuttgart, Arkansas. We're talking about rice, new component and recombinant mapping population.
Okay. So, and I'm supposed to do this in 12 minutes, but at least I notice break is after this. So this project evolved out of an association mapping panel that we developed, and I think it's page down. So what we have is the Rice Diversity Panel 1, which I've talked about and others have talked about. It was developed in collaboration with Cornell University with NSF grant funding. And for those of you that aren't rice people, there's basically two varietal groups of rice, the Japonica and Indica. And Japonica is composed of three different subpopulation groups, the temperate and tropical Japonicas, as well as the aromatics. And the Indica is basically Indica and Ausch, and then there's various admixtures. And these numbers are based on the most recent genotyping list, which I'll mention in a minute with Hydra data. So, page down. So we embarked on a large phenotyping scheme. It took actually we got 2 years of data on most all accessions. We sort of went back and forth on which lines were in it, and that's why it expanded over 4 years. We looked at typical traits that agronomists, breeders would look at, plant height, days to heading, flag leaf length and width, panicle architecture, which would be panicle length, secondary branches, filled seed, unfilled seed, grain color, tiller number, and then quality traits would be like protein, apparent animal loss contrast, tent and alkali spreading value, which is a measure of how sticky the rice is. And the accessions in this panel overlapped with several others that are familiar to rice people. One that they'd 150 accessions that they'd looked at with SSRs from our own rice core collection we've developed, as well as the Grin rice collection. So it represented 79 countries, 10 regions of the world, and this is sort of a map I've seen all over. It's the subpopulation groups in this are based on only 44,000 SNPs. And below is the various genotypings that we've done with SSRs, 37,000 SNPs, and most recently with a high-density rice array, which had 700,000 SNPs. So this is all fine and good, but in the U.S., in the southern states, we basically grow tropical Japonica rices, either a medium grain or long grain. And in California, they're a little different. They grow tropical Japonica tends to be their long grain rices, and the short and medium grain rices are temperate Japonica, or they're an admixture of either temperate and tropical Japonica. There's very few mapping populations this way because within the tropical Japonica, because there's large monomorphic regions. Most of the populations you can work with tend to be Indica Japonica. There's big sterility barriers. So it's great for mapping, not so great for breeders. Our objective then was, that grew out of this association mapping, was to develop a RIL pop that was focused on the tropical Japonica. We did the typical agronomic traits that I just mentioned. You can read them, agronomic traits, panicle architecture traits, and seed. And then to redo the GWAS, using all, the reported one just has 2 years of data. They didn't do any mean adjustment. And we have this new 700,000 SNPs. So part of the reason was to redo the GWAS, or genome-wide association studies, and then look for possible candidate genes. So this is from the SSRs, but you can see that we picked two parents that were phenotypic very, very diverse, and this is a bigger job than you'd think it would be. And then you can see the highlighted ones are the Estrella parent, which is from Colombia, and due to seed mixtures, this became NSF TV 199 had originally was the small seed of Mojito Colorado, but we found when we went back in the core collection seed, we had a seed mixture, but we were too far along, so we didn't go back and redo the population. And you can see the phenotypic diversity here. You have Estrella, which is sort of short, sort of wide comb habit. The 199 is tall. It's much more biomass. The seeds are very different. You have the long seed, narrow seed of Estrella, the short seed of the 199. And then in between are just samples of the variation we saw in the population. So panicles are even more different. You have the Estrella, which is sort of a short panicle, the 199, which is a longer panicle, very full, lots of secondary branches, lots of seed, and everything in between in the population. So from this, we had 256 progeny we looked at. We evaluated it in two reps over 2 years and evaluated the traits I mentioned before. I'm trying to get done. And then I worked with a statistician. We did both LUP values, which are the best linear unbiased prediction, and then we also did LS means. To match with what I did with the GWAS data, we just used BLEPs for the measured traits, LS means for the categorical traits, which were comb habit, on presence, and seed shattering. And originally we'd hoped to do GBS, but expense and trying to get the data analyzed, we went ahead and just did the markers we have available at our center. And it took 317 markers, of which only 132 gave us good coverage. And then did the mapping in the QTL-ICI mapping, so it's got 10 centimorgan distances, and then used MIM to do the QTL mapping. So in summary, we had 70 total QTL, 19 were with the agronomic traits, 24 with the panicle architecture, and 27 with seed traits. And like I said, we had the marnomorphic regions, which you can see here. The next slide is the QTL map. I've sort of color-coded it because it's lots of data. So the magenta are the agronomic traits, the green are the architecture traits, and the seed traits are brown. And they're sort of at the end of the line, but you see we have a lot of overlap. Some of those are calculated, so they do overlap. And also you can see the variation we have in the gaps we have in the map. So then to go back, we reanalyzed the data we'd collected over the 4 years with the diversity panel, same traits, and it was so much data to get the program to run, we had to just use a mean for the three plants within the row that we selected, so it didn't take days to run it, or a day for each trait, and looked at both the LS means and BLEPs, and like I said, we used the measure traits, we used BLEP values, and then LS means for the categorical traits for there, and most of them in the panel don't shatter, so we didn't have enough shattering lines, so it worked better to just use a straight mean. So then we went and did the GWAS mapping, ran it. We actually went back and redid all the allele calling from the PLINK files. I didn't do it, the bioinformatics people did that. And ran it both as the whole panel, the tropical japonica and the japonica subpopulations, or varietal group, and looked for overlap in candidate genes. To illustrate, I'm just going to show you Manhattan plots, but we actually went in, wrote scripts to pull them out of the two bit databases of annotated genes, which are ArriseBase and QTORL, and looked for the genes in those regions. So to illustrate what we did, I picked three traits because it's way too much data to present. And you'll get the feel for what we did. So we have the distribution of the population. It's very diverse. You've found our QTLs. It's the QTL map. Then we have the three Manhattan plots. So this would be the tropical japonica subpopulation, the japonica subvarietal group, and then overall. And you see in some cases, The SNPs are in the main places, and so what I overlaid here, I just picked this one because it worked the best. There are others, this fuzzy panicle trait, which gives a lot of branches and spikelets, and we find it right here. This is our QTL on 7, and these are the SNPs that go with it. And this is a patriotic Manhattan plot, since it's red, white, and blue. And similarly, with the number of seeds per panicle, as with the florets, we saw these same regions across this trait, and many of these were associated with increased branching, increased spikelet formation, or seed increases in seed number. And then the last one to illustrate this, looking at the seed length trait, because the grain dimensions, they actually cover, there's known genes that cover about 4-5 chromosomes. And we looked at the Manhattan plots. If you look real close here, you notice one's coming across. This SNP is probably on chromosome 3 right in the gene, so I just overlaid the grain size 3, but we also saw them in 5 and on chromosome 7. And some of these you can see across, as you look across the three different GWA studies, we did not see all of them in every subpopulation group. So, like I said, we went through for each group. And so back to our QTL map overlaying, we found several known genes. These are the big ones we found. Like I said, many related to seed size. And the ones, this is grain number, but many of these with the panicle architecture traits are known to be responsible for increased branching, increased number of spikelets. So some of these regions just repeated themselves. In summary then, we had a total, as I mentioned before, 7D RIL, QTL, and of the 50, we found 55 GWAS QTL that overlapped with 30 of the RILs, and 31 were known genes. That means there's unknown ones that can be discovered. We wrote scripts to to pull out those genes, because to try and look through these databases one by one is a humongous effort. It's much easier with the scripts to pull those out. Like I say, we found candidate genes I just reported, but there's probably also novel genes in there. It shows its approach for those of people that don't have a lot of money. You can GWAS map this panel as available, and then you can make your own population for your trait you're looking at. And lastly, it demonstrated, I was amazed, the diversity as I worked with the data that we found in a very narrow population. You know, it's not that varied. Most people don't like to work just within tropical Chobanica for this type of stuff, mapping. And that means when we pull stuff out that's useful to breeders, they don't have all these sterility barriers to deal with. And these traits are pretty heritable. They range from 31 to 90%, even to the broad sense heritability within the GWAS mapping traits. So we're in the process of going through here and pulling out some lines to look at, because we saw that transgressive variation for actually releases germplasm. And we're in taking what we have here. We've got a couple other projects, similar project at the center, and we're going to do some marker development, because we have a new light cycler, so we can do cast markers. And then we can test them in mapping populations for that. And what we did could be extrapolated. And I want to acknowledge all that phenotypic data didn't happen. It takes several technical type people, student interns, to get it done. And I want to acknowledge that support. It wouldn't have been done to that level without the assistance of NSF funding in the past. So I think that's it.